If you will, take your Bibles this morning and go to 1 Peter, the second chapter. We're going to look at some verses there just in a few moments, beginning at verse 9. How many of you remember growing up and watching the TV program The Lone Ranger? Yeah, all right. You know, you do what's going to happen. Always the Lone Ranger and Tonto were going to come in at the last moment, and they were going to save the day. I mean, that's always, right? This means yes. Okay, gotcha. I want to make sure you're still with me. All right. And then they would ride off into the sunset, and someone would always ask one question. What was it? Who was that masked man? This morning, I want to ask you, who in the world are you? Even more, who is Beachside Baptist Church? Who are you as a church? Matter of fact, let's just ask that question ourselves together out loud, all right? We're going to ask, who are we as Beachside Baptist Church? You ready? Who are we as Beachside Baptist Church? That was terrible. One more time. Who are we as Beachside Baptist Church? I'm glad you asked that question, and I'm going to give you the answer from Peter's writing here, and I'm just going to kind of exhort a little bit on what Peter has to say, because he tells you who you are, individually and as the church. Beginning of verse 9 of 1 Peter, the second chapter. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, who in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which wars against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. In those verses, Peter gives us answer to who we are as Christians and as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice, first of all, he tells us there, as we look at it, that we are a chosen people, a chosen generation. That is, we are God's elect people. Let me tell you what that word really means there. And it came out of the Old Testament when God was talking about the children of Israel. He says, my people, my chosen, this people have I formed for myself. I want to tell you who you are this morning and what God is doing in our lives individually and collectively, the church, and what He's doing around the world. God is creating a new race of people. Think about it. This is really kind of exciting. So think about what God is doing. God is actually creating a new group of people just for Himself. He's taking people from China, from Russia, from Asia, from Africa, from India, from Europe, from the islands, from the Americans, from Canada, and all the other nations of the world. And He's blending them into His peculiar individual nation. We are a different race. He sets aside for Himself, and we're going to be looking at that. Now, that doesn't mean that our outward appearances change. Those outward appearances, they come and go. You know, our pigmentation of our skin, our facial expressions, that's not what He's changing. He's changing from the inside. He's working a new beginning within us. And that's why He says in the Scriptures, and why He said to Nicodemus, He said, Nicodemus, you've got to be what? Born what? Again. You entered into the human race by a physical birth. You want to enter into the new race that God's creating? There has to be a second birthday in your life. It is a spiritual birth that takes place the moment we invite Jesus Christ into our heart to be our Lord and Savior. Folks, it is exciting to see what God's doing. He's creating within us a new people. He's making us. Not only us as Baptists, but every Christian group throughout the world. He says, I am making you my people. My individual people. When he does that, he says, we're born again. Not only that, he says, he tells us in the Bible that we have a brand new renewed mind. Matter of fact, you look in Romans, he said, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. God's changing us to be his people. He made us a brand new creation, new creature. In 2 Corinthians it tells us, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. He's not someone who has simply been remodeled. He is a brand new creation of God. We are into a new race of people, God's people. We become a new man, Ephesians 4:24, and he put on the new man, the new man. Folks, it's great to know what God's doing in our lives. Who are you this morning? You are God's chosen people. You are, this morning, as a Christian, a part of the new race that God has created for himself. Just as so long ago, he took Israel in the Old Testament and made them his people. In the new covenant, that new testament. He's making people from all over the world his new people through that supernatural birth of knowing Jesus. Not only that, he tells us we're a royal priesthood. Did you notice what he said? He says we're a royal priesthood. People who don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, most of the world, God seems to be so remote. God seems to be so far off. You know, he's not right there with him. He says that God, it's out there in space somewhere. And that's why, as you go back in history, you look, people wanted priests. Those who would live in a close relationship with God so they could intercede for them. Let me tell you what God's done with you today. God has made you a priest. That is, he has given you direct access unto him. You know, we don't have to go through anybody else. I haven't got to go to you. You ain't got to come to me. We have a hotline, if you will, to God himself. We are to live in fellowship with him. When we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, he opens our line for us, and we are to walk in fellowship and with him day in and day out. Folks, we are to be with him. The question comes to us, though, are we walking daily and living in the very presence of God? Because that's what it means to be a priest, that we can come into the very presence of God. That I have the right to come into the presence of the God who said, let there be, and it was. And I'm coming to him. Matter of fact, I think he's better than that. I'm coming to him as a little child. And I have a pretty good imagination sometimes. I like to visualize myself being able to crawl up on the lap of God. And say, Father, I simply need to talk with you. Are we living in that intimate relationship with him day in and day out? See, this relationship with Christ is not a Sunday experience. It's a daily experience as we walk with him. Am I living in the very presence of God daily? Folks, I want you to know something. Whether you realize it or not, you are. As a Christian, you cannot go anywhere that God doesn't go with you. He's there through the Spirit of God living within you. And so we're to live in that close, wonderful relationship with him. Kind of like Enoch, you know, he said that he went with a walk with God, and they walked so far, it was too far to go home. So God said, Enoch, why don't you just come on home with me? That's pretty good. You walking that close with God? Am I walking that close with God? That's what God's called us to be. In that royal priesthood, to be in an intimate, close fellowship with him at all times. He says also we're a holy nation. A holy nation. God's building a brand new nation of people, a nation that is separated. And the word holy, it really means just simply to be separated, to be set apart, to be different from God. As a Christian, as a part of this church, you are a people that God says, all right, I'm setting you apart. I'm setting you apart to serve the most sovereign God, me, himself. He says he's setting us apart to obey the laws of his nation. He's setting us apart to dedicate our lives to follow his customs and his lifestyles. He's setting us apart to defend the very nature of God's nation. God says, I'm setting you apart. You're here to be different. Matter of fact, he goes on in that next part and says, let me tell you how you're doing. You're to be a peculiar people. I've set you apart to be peculiar. And I know a lot of Christians that are peculiar. Y'all ever known any peculiar Christians? Have you? Do you know the person sitting next to you? They're peculiar. I'm getting a good example from the wife. Yeah, they are. He's peculiar. And God says, we're to be a peculiar. That word means to be a people who are possessed by God. It's the idea that we're owned by Him. We're His. He set us apart that our lives is to be different from the life of the world because we're set apart for who? For God. The way we live is how? For God. The way I act is how? To bring honor to God. The way I talk is how? To bring honor to God. I am different than the world. If you're here today and you're saved, you ought to be peculiar to the world. They ought to look at you and say, there's something strange about you. And that strangeness ought to be our relationship with Jesus. Because they see that we don't do everything that they do. Matter of fact, Mom thought you were strange this morning. You got up and you came to this building. Your neighbor said, I don't know why they do that. That's strange for men to do that. Let me tell you something. If you put your tithe in the offering plate this morning, the world out there says, man, that's a little strange. That's peculiar. Why are you giving your money to the church? Most people say, well, I'll throw my money up in the air. What God wants you to keep, what falls down is mine. But to bring it and give it away. That's strange. Why would you want to give your time and service and ministry to that? That's strange. Why would you want to live the way you live? Because we are a peculiar people. We ought to be different. We're not to blend in. I think when in the early church there in the book of Acts, one of the things that you see that then here was some individuals that had been changed by God, and when they went out there and walked and lived among the people, they said, there's something different about them. There's something really different about them. It's strange when he tells us to turn the other cheek. It's strange when the Bible says, love your enemies. That doesn't make sense to the world. But yet that's how God's called us to live. As a very peculiar people. A people that belong to Him. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us that we belong to Him because we've been bought with a price. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, for you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We're not our own anymore. Once we accept Jesus Christ into our heart as our Lord and Savior, we have been bought with a price. And the picture that is used there by Paul in 1 Corinthians is that of going out there on the slave market. Because in the first century, one of the things that they did, they could go out on the slave market and you could pick out the slave you want and you could pay the price and that slave became yours. Your possession. What Peter said there when we've been bought a price is what God's done for us. But we were in the slave market of sin. Sin owned us. Before we became a Christian, the devil had us. We were his. Louis Vanderbilt. We belonged to him. But when we invited Jesus Christ, Jesus paid the price and bought us from that sin and set us free in him. So I'm no longer my own, but I've been bought with a price. The very price of the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And we just finished celebrating that wonderful season of Easter. But you know, folks, in reality, every Sunday is Easter because we're celebrating the fact we have a living Savior that has paid the price for me and you. He's paid the price. We are peculiar because we're no longer owned by sin, but we're owned by Jesus Christ. He goes on in verse 9. And he tells us there some other things about it. He says that we have a purpose. He says that you shall show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into this marvelous light. We're to show forth the praises. You go back and you study that in the Greek. It means to speak forth. It means to tell out. It means to publish it. It means to set forth. It means to proclaim it. It tells us that as Christians, we are to proclaim the message of Jesus Christ. That is our purpose now. Let me give a good advertisement for Share Jesus Without Fear. I want to tell you, folks, that is one of the best, if not the best, tools that I've ever seen for sharing Jesus Christ. I've done EE, CWT, Faith, Roman Road. In my ears, I guess I've memorized all of those. But the most simple, easiest one that everybody can use, I believe, is Share Jesus Without Fear. If you haven't joined that group for next tomorrow night, you need to be here. You need to be here. Because, folks, that's our purpose, to show forth His praises, to show forth who it is. We need to know how to simply say, hey, let me tell you about what Jesus has done for me and what He can do for you. You're not going to save anybody. As our good brother said a while ago, only Jesus can do that. We're just to share the praises of what God's done. But I want you to notice that. As we do that, he goes on and begins to even describe us a little bit more. He says, let me tell you, as you're sharing that down in verse 11 about yourself. He calls us there a stranger. He says, in this world, we are strangers. Now, that word stranger in the Greek is really the idea of an individual who comes for a while and dwells for a period of time in a land. Their citizenship is somewhere else, but they have traveled and they may stay here. The best way to illustrate that, which we can understand, is our Canadian snowbirds who come down here and own a home or lease one for a few months. You understand that, don't you? Any of y'all those? No, everybody, they've all gone back. Oh, we've got a couple that haven't gone back yet. Okay. But your citizenship's not here. You're just here for a period of time. You don't vote here. Your rights, your obligations, your responsibility is in Canada. What Jesus is saying, folks, that's where we are. Our real citizenship is not here. We're here for a period of time. But the way we live, that which governs us, that which controls us, that which tells us how we're to live, is governed by someone else, and that is God and His kingdom. We're here for a period of time. But we don't act and live like the citizens here. We act and live and speak the language of heaven. He says, that's what we're to do. And only he said that, he says, let me tell you what else. He says, I'll even give you another. He says, you're a pilgrim. That's even a different one because, see, we have a lot of pilgrims here in our land, too. The pilgrims are those who come from Canada for a week or two. They're not staying here real long. They just don't come down, have a short vacation, go back. That's the terminology that Peter's using to describe you and I. We need to understand, folks, we're just here for a short period of time. Yeah, it may be 80, 90, 100 years. But compared to eternity, that's pretty short, isn't it?
Compared to eternity, 90 years, 100 years is not very long.
We're just passing through this land. So we're not to get all attached to it. Our love is not to be here. Our roots are not planted here. Our roots and our love is towards heaven, and we look forward to that day when, hallelujah, we're going to get to go home. Heaven is our home. We are a new race of people going to a new land to live for eternity with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's who we are. That's exciting. Matter of fact, verse 12 tells us about this world, that we're among the Gentiles. That you and your garner honest among the Gentiles, that where they speak against you as evildoers, they may be your good works, which they may see your good works, which they shall behold glorifying God. He said, folks, the world out there as they look upon us, as they look at you and as they look at me, they're going to look at us and say, man, they're strange. Man, they're kind of weird. Especially when we're really living for Jesus. What is so bad is that too many Christians, I think, are blending into the world. We're not to blend in. We're not to act and to live and to do everything the world does. There's some things, folks, that out there that we're just not supposed to do. Because it does damage to our witness to the Lord Jesus Christ. If we're out there and we're thinking, well, should I do this or should I do that? Most likely if we're questioning it, we probably shouldn't. Or if we look around and see who's watching us. You ever done that? Don't be honest here. Yeah? Well, there's nobody watching us. We're to live in such a way that they see Jesus in us. I think one of the most beautiful illustrations of that is found at Pentecost. The Holy Spirit came upon those disciples. Do you remember what happened? They went out into the public, and what did the public accuse them of? Do you remember? I can't hear. They were partying and drinking. They were drunk. I want to ask you, how long have you been since you've been so excited about Jesus Christ and thought you were drunk? That's what happened at Pentecost. They saw these men so filled with Jesus and so excited about Jesus and proclaiming Jesus, and those guys are drunk. That's what they were accused of. Can you imagine what would happen in our world today if we as Christians got so excited about Jesus, people thought we were drunk? I think it's about time we get drunk on Jesus. The Scripture says, be not filled with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. I think that's the same idea, because when a person is filled with wine and drunk, can you tell it? Yeah, I mean, you just... Folks, when I am so filled with Jesus, people ought to be able to see it. In the way I live, in the way I act, in the way I talk, my whole life and your whole life ought to radiate Jesus Christ. In order to do that, look, we're going to have to be walking with Him daily. We're going to have to be right there, walking with Him, fellowshipping with Him, sharing with Him. And that's got to be a daily experience. Matter of fact, if you look at that verse where he says, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit, in the Greek it means continually being filled. And we'll come to church and we can get filled and excited about Jesus, but you know what happens on Monday if we're not careful? We're leaky vessels. In the Greek there, it means that continually being filled with God's Spirit. Continually letting God's Spirit have control of your life. Continually letting God's Spirit be in charge. Continually surrendering to His will day in and day out, every moment, every second. Because if we don't do that, we have a tendency to take control ourselves. We like to be in charge of our own life. And so daily, hourly, by the minute, I have to submit to the leadership of God through the Holy Spirit so I can be filled with Him. And as I'm filled with Him, they see Jesus in me. Why do we live that way? So God will be glorified. What is our purpose? To live in such a way that they see Jesus Christ. And so I have to ask myself, do my neighbors see Jesus in me? When I'm at Walmart fixing to pull into that parking lot and somebody gets in there before me, do they see Jesus in me? When I'm standing in line to check out, and they're having some problems up there, and I'm having to wait and wait and wait and wait, do they see Jesus in me? Do they see Jesus? Is God being glorified in my everyday life? We are a peculiar people. We are a new race. A race of twice born, spirit filled individuals. A very part of the kingdom of God. That's who you are if you're a Christian. If you're today here today without Jesus, then you're not a part of that. Because there has to come a point in our time in our life when we invite Jesus into our heart and to experience that brand new birth, that brand new creation. Have you been recreated in Christ Jesus? Not reformed, but recreated. Let's stand as we pray. Precious Father, we just thank You for Your Word. God, we thank You that in Jesus Christ we are a new creation. We are a new people, Your people. God, just for a moment, we're going to leave this building. And when Beachside leaves this building, may New Smyrna see Jesus wherever these individuals go. May they see Jesus as He lives within them. And I pray it in Christ's name. Amen.